did. My friend wants his eyes examined.
Does he now?
The mixmaster cantered aside his console, producing an eyepiece from his tunic. He leaned closer to me, nose wrinkling in what was probably justified distaste at my smell. He squinted through the eyepiece, scrutinizing both my eyes, so that the vast lens seemed to fill half the room.
"What about his eyes?"
he asked, bored. On the way to the booth we'd rehearsed a story. "I was a fool," I said. "I wanted eyes like my partner's, but I couldn't afford Mixmaster services. I was in orbit and..."
"What were you doing in orbit if you couldn't afford our prices?"
"Getting myself scanned, of course. It doesn't come cheap. Not if you want a good provider who'll keep you properly backed up."
"Oh."
It was an effective end to that line of inquiry. The Mixmasters were ideologically opposed to the whole idea of neural scanning, arguing that the soul could only be maintained biologically, not by capturing it in some machine. The attendant shook his head, as if I had betrayed some solemn promise.
"Then you were indeed foolish, but you know that already. What happened?"
"There were black geneticists in the carousel, bloodcutters, offering much the same services as the Mixmasters, but at a much lower cost. Since the work I sought didn't involve large-scale anatomical reconstruction, I thought the risk was worth it.
And of course now you come crawling to us."
I offered him my best apologetic grin, placating myself by imagining the several interesting and painful ways in which I could have killed him there and then without breaking into a sweat. "It's several weeks since I returned from the carousel," I said, "and nothing's happened to my eyes. They still look the same. I want to know if the bloodcutters did anything other than fleece me."
"It'll cost you. I've a good mind to charge you extra just because you were stupid enough to go to bloodcutters."
Then, barely perceptibly, his tone softened.
"Still, perhaps you've already learnt your lesson. I suppose it depends on whether I find any changes."
I did not particularly enjoy much of what followed. I had to lie on a couch, more intricate and antiseptic than the one in Dominica's, then wait while the Mixmaster immobilized my head using a padded frame. A machine lowered down above my eyes, extending a hair fine filament which quivered slightly like a whisker. The probe wandered over my eyes, mapping them with stuttering pulses of blue laser light. Then, very quickly, so that it felt more like a single sting of cold, the whisker dropped into my eye, snatched tissue, retracted, moved to another site and re-entered, perhaps a dozen times, on each occasion sampling a different depth of the interior. But it all happened so swiftly that before my blink reflex had initiated, the machine had done its work and moved to the other eye.
"That's enough," the Mixmaster said. "Should be able to tell what the bloodcutters did to you, if they did anything, and why it isn't taking. A few weeks, you said?"
I nodded.
"Perhaps it's too soon to rule out success."
I had the feeling he was talking to himself more than us. Some of their therapies are actually rather sophisticated, but only those which they've stolen in their entirety from us. Of course they cut all the safety margins and use outdated sequences. He lowered himself into his seat again, folding down the console, which immediately threw up a display too cryptic to make any sense to me, all shifting histograms and complex boxes full of scrolling alphanumerics. A huge eyeball popped into reality, half a meter in diameter, like a disembodied sketch from one of Da Vinci's notebooks. The Mixmaster made sweeping movements with his gauntlets, and chunks of the eyeball detached, like slices of cake, exposing deeper strata.